Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of the Surrey Air Global Fantasy Football Podcast. This week, myself, Hybe, and You'll Never Walk Alone, are delighted to be joined by Brantley.eth, Director of Operations at Ethereum Naming Service, to discuss ENS with us. So I'm guessing that the vast majority of our listeners won't be too aware of what ENS is, and so we wanted to get an expert on to help explain, as Surrey is an ETH-based game with thousands of active managers, and I'm sure there's a lot of value in Surrey users finding out more. So Brantley, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, I'm excited for this one a lot because it's your company, the ENS Domains, is something which I've seen from very early on, dominating on OpenSea, you know, a lot of auctions. I mean, I've got an address that's I've already renewed once, so I know you've been around for a while now, but yeah, perhaps you can help to share ENS Domains to our audience.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so ENS stands for the Ethereum Name Service. And in a very basic level, it's a naming system, which means that it's something that, you know, has easy to read or remember names, which then represent, you know, difficult to, you know, understand data. Yeah, let's talk practically. So there's three major things you can do with ENS. The first is that it is it can be your portable Web3 username and profile. So I say this is actually the most important use case for ENS. So you get a name and you can put like an avatar or, you know, your GitHub account or your Twitter account and or other information about yourself. And then you kind of own that name. Well, you own that name. And then when you connect to a Web3 dApp, let's say like, you know, Uniswap, or if you're looking things up on Etherscan or you connect to OpenSea or something like this, it will automatically use your ENS name as your username. So cross-platform. So that's really, really powerful. So that's a flip from the Web2 script. So in Web2, you have like a username for each service that, and it's siloed off, right? Well, in Web3, you own your account, you own your name, and you bring that to each account, to each service. So that's powerful. You can use that as widely in Web3 right now.
Yeah, so essentially a way of you carrying your name, your profile across lots of different games, apps that you're using, and having that identity follow you online.
Yes, powerful. The second major use case is simplified cryptocurrency payments. So with ENS, you can store any cryptocurrency address. You can store, you know, of course, an Ethereum address, but, you know, a Bitcoin address, a Dogecoin address, you know, a Solana address, a Ripple address, you know, whatever you want. You can store all those addresses. And then you can receive any cryptocurrency token or NFT on those blockchains with your name. So like Brantley.eth, you know, I can, you know, somebody can open up Trust Wallet and they can send Dogecoin to Brantley.eth. So that's really powerful. That's a powerful use case. Then the third major use case is decentralized websites. So you can store your website on some sort of distributed file sharing network. And there's a couple we support. We support IPFS, Skynet, you know, CS Skynet, and Arweave. We also support Tor.onion addresses, even Swarm. You can store your website on one of these networks. And then you get this like hash, basically this kind of like long string of numbers and letters that points to it. You store that in your ENS records. And then you can type in your ENS name and go to that website. We actually have native support in Brave, in Opera, in the MetaMask extension. You know, if you have the MetaMask extension, your browser supports ENS centralized websites, and a couple other mobile apps also support it. That's really cool. Another key thing to know about ENS is that it's a self-running protocol that runs on Ethereum. It's an open source project. You mentioned, you know, like, you know, my company. Not really. So ENS itself, you know, is a self-running protocol. I actually work for a nonprofit organization called True Names Limited. And we're sort of just like the de facto developers of the ENS protocol, but we don't own it. And even if we disappeared, all of ENS would keep running. So yeah, there's a bit of an overview.
Well, yeah, so a lot of stuff to take in there. I'm fairly new to the space myself, as I said before we started the call. I've bought up a couple of addresses. I'm quite excited.
So, you know, if you want to register an ENS name, we have a something called the ENS Manager app. It's at app.ens.domains, and you can it's just a UI to help you interact with the blockchain, and you can register you know, new names that way. OpenSea though is where there's a lot of secondary market trading. So people who have already registered names and then are like trying to buy and sell names that already exist. So when you see the sale volume on OpenSea, that's just the secondary market volume. And you're right, that's exploded. I mean, in this just this last month, there was over 500 Ether worth of secondary market sales of ENS names, which is huge. And I mean, in especially in its category, I mean, in the domains, in the blockchain domains category, ENS is the leader by a long shot, by, you know, many metrics. I mean, you know, secondary market sales. Yeah, I mean, it's like 99%, you know, of that market. You know, by other metrics too, though. I mean, like, for example, integrations. So, you know, places that you can use ENS. You know, ENS has more integrations than like all other blockchain naming projects combined, like times three. I mean, it's like way, way bigger. I just will mention there have been a lot of other attempts at this, you know, even going back to like 2011, 2010. In fact, internet naming was one of the first things that people realized you could do with blockchain technology other than currency. So you had Bitcoin starting in 2009. Pretty quickly, people realized you could use it for internet naming. So you had this project called BitDNS, which then became Namecoin. And Namecoin was sort of like the first semi-successful altcoin, although it's a dead project now. And there have been a lot of other major attempts over the years, but ENS, for various reasons, has been really the only one to really be successful. I think ENS has a chance of just simply becoming the blockchain naming system of the world. And if it does succeed in that, I think it's a chance that actually it becomes bigger than traditional DNS. And what I mean by that is that, you know, everyone in the world uses traditional DNS, but not everybody has a DNS domain name because you just don't need it. Whereas with ENS, the vision is everybody will, because it's your identity, you know, and it's how you receive payments. So I think it's the chance that everybody will.
And so from a new user's perspective, I mean, I'm curious now, you know, out of all of those 340 odd thousand names that have been registered, I'm curious to know how many are just like dormant, inactive, with the owners looking to flip on because they were first to get, you know, a short or abbreviated name or something catchy, which someone else might want to buy off them in the future. But for the percentage of those that are actually being used on a day-to-day basis through the different integrations, what would you say the average user's journey is when they acquire one for the first time? What do they typically go on to do with that name to start with?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there's no way for us to know use exactly because nothing goes through our servers. So it's not like when you do a lookup, it's going through our servers. I mean, it's just all on the blockchain. So that's how you collect data, right? If something goes through your centralized server, you can then track that. We don't have that. I will say that we're very intentional about the fact that we're trying to build a name system that is used rather than simply speculated on. And we have designed like our pricing model specifically to try to discourage too much speculation. You can't get rid of all speculation, and all speculation is not necessarily terrible, but we're trying to limit it and dampen it as much as possible because we want to optimize for use.
So squatting is for on the three and four letter names in particular is going to be quite an expensive hobby or a way to try and speculate.
Exactly. So what he's referencing is that for .eth names, we could talk about the names that exist on ENS here in a second too. For .eth names, 1 and 2 character names are not allowed right now. Three and four character names cost quite a bit because they're rare and obviously desirable. But then names that are 5 characters or longer are like $5 a year. It's very, very cheap. So it's five characters or more, it's $5 a year. 4 characters, it's $160 a year. And for 3 characters, it's $640 a year. This is, of course, paid in Ether. Another key thing is you can pay ahead as long as you want. So really, I don't use the terminology really renewing or, you know, an annual fee, because you can pay ahead as much as you want. So I use the term cost scaled to time registered. So the longer you want to have it registered, the more you have to pay. And, you know, I highly recommend if you have a name that you plan on keeping, you know, pay for it to be for 10 years or something, you know, and you can extend it at any time. And that way, you know, you're not going to accidentally forget to renew it or something. You know, you've got it. You can kind of forget about it for a while.
But you can also set reminders, can't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can set reminders for yourself. We have a tool in our manager app to help people do that. Yeah, so real quick, let's talk about the names that are on ENS. So many people are aware that you can get .eth names on ENS. So like I have Brintley.eth. But something that we've been working on for many years and that has been made available in stages and now is fully available is you can import DNS names into ENS. What I mean by that is like I have bcmilligan.com on DNS, you know, normal web domain. And then I do this process, a certain process. And now I've imported bcmilligan.com into ENS. Now it's not .eth, it's .com. So I can use bcmilligan.com on ENS. And like you can send me Dogecoin to bcmilligan.com. It can be my Web3 username. So, you know, I can set it so that like when I log into Uniswap, I see bcmilligan.com. So you can do most, not all, but you can do most of the same things with a DNS name imported into ENS as you can with a .eth name, which is native DNS.
And how many users do you see using that? So that's a fairly new service. Have you seen a lot of take up?
No. So the full DNS namespace integration is fairly new. And also, it's pretty expensive. The importing process is a one-time deal, but it's fairly expensive given the way that it works. We have some plans on our roadmap for dramatically reducing that cost, like 90%, which should make it easier for people to use. But the basic functionality we needed to get out there, just, you know, if people wanted to start playing around with it or start using it, they could. Most people just use .eth names right now.
And just going back to the, as you said, you don't like to call it renewals or, you know, that, but each address, once you've paid for a certain period of time, like it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, there is an expiration date. What are the risks then, you know, or what risks do you see when people have the ownership of this? I mean, of course, when you're sending ETH from place to place or any cryptocurrency, you should always be wary of double checking exactly the address you're sending it to and making sure the recipient is who you want it to go to. I guess when you've got 3, 4, 5 letter names, the chance of making an error is a lot lower than a very long string of letters and numbers. But are there any risks that owners need to be wary of? I mean, I guess around the time where their payments has come up for, and you run the risk of losing that address to somebody else, I guess anyone that's got your address stored is just going to potentially be sending money to someone else.
That's true. I mean, so a couple things to note about this is having a cost scale to time registered is critical for long-term namespace health. The problem, if you if everything defaulted to a pay once and own forever thing, you run into a couple of problems. One, you don't have any squatting is terrible because then the one-time payment's a sunk cost. Once they get it, they're never going to let go of that unless they, you know, are selling it for a huge amount of money. And they have no incentive to ever stop squatting. So we think that if defaulting to everything being you have to pay once and then you own it forever actually leads to less use. So that's one problem. Another problem is some people, they're not trying to squat, you know, just maybe they get a name or they get a couple names or something. They think they're going to use them and then they don't. I mean, it's very common with domain names, right? You know, you get a name, you feel inspired and then nothing happens with it. Well, again, like, is there any incentive to eventually release that, or does it just automatically get released after a while if you're not using it? Well, again, you know, with our model, eventually it does get released so that someone else can use it. Maybe you're not even using it, but now someone else can use it. The third situation is lost names. So this is a thing where, you know, say you own some domain names with your Ethereum account, and you lose your private key, or something bad happens, you send it to the wrong place or something. And that could be lost forever. That's it. That name is just can't be used on the internet anymore. We think that'd be bad. So in our model, eventually things do expire and they do come back into circulation. So you do save. And I know lots of people who the name they have is a name that used to be owned by someone else, and that person let it expire. Now that person has it, and they're actually using it. So again, we're maximizing for use, we're optimizing for use. Another thing I'd recommend is I wouldn't too blindly just always use the same name ongoing for years to the same person. You know, maybe check with them. Hey, are you still Brantley.eth? Okay, great. You know, and you can also maybe double check the address that you ended up sending to, because let's say I'm sending Ether to Brantley.eth. Most wallets, what they do is they grab the Ethereum address and display it below the name. You know, you can double check that if you want.
No, I mean, I think that the trend is definitely from 12, 18 months ago to now, like yourself on your Twitter handle, you can see it attached to your CryptoPunk avatar as well. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things. I mean, I think I've just basically redirected mine on the main server. That's it. So I'm sure there are, if there are ways that you can help show, and if there's more tutorials available now, ways that I can start to utilize it a little bit more, or perhaps you know, things that I could be doing that I'm not doing to take advantage of it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about that. We're in the midst right now of a total redesign of our manager app. So our manager app current design, we developed a couple of years ago when ENS, it didn't do as much. It was earlier. ENS, you know, since then has grown enormously in terms of what's possible and the use cases. And so we're actually in the midst of redesigning the manager app from the ground up to, you know, to be built around the full range of use cases now. So it should be much simpler. And because, yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle to make things as clear and as simple for new users as possible.
I've seen the knock-up of that you shared, must have been a couple of weeks ago, and that does look really nice, really clean, and it will make it a lot easier for people new coming into this space to be able to manage these names, understand what they're doing. It's very visual, and although it's easy enough within the current manager app, you probably do need to go to a few of the user guides just to understand what it is you're doing. I think that the new view will be really helpful. When is that likely to be released?
Oh, you know, of course, ultimately the answer is, of course, whenever we get it done, and we have, you know, many things happening all at the same time. I would say in my perfect world, we could get at least a version of the new manager out by the end of the year. You know, it's never done, right? You know, you kind of get out a new design with a basic functionality, and then you're adding new things, and then you're developing and ongoing anyway. I'd say by end of year, but things might take longer. It's just the way these things go, you know.
And then another question I had, sorry, I could just keep jumping from pedal to post.
Let's do it.
There was a way, and I'm probably not going to explain this correctly, but you might get the gist of it. So let's say I've got my domain, which is ynwa.eth, but let's say I wanted to get friends or family invested into crypto very first steps, and, you know, they're not used to it. Is that there's a way that I can basically give them subdomains off my domain. So rather than them having to go through and set up everything, I could go YNWA brother, YNWA sister, YNWA whatever, and then give them to different friends and family so that they've also got something to receive and an identity. Is that how it works? Have I got the gist of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Subdomains, I think, are actually one of the most powerful features of ENS that they aren't really used very much right now. And partly because we need better tooling for it. And we're actually in the midst of also working on better tooling and better features for subdomains. I think it really make them powerful. We've actually internally had this expectation for a long time that actually long-term, most users will have a subdomain. They will not have a main domain. And so subdomains have no protocol fee at all. I mean, you know, there's a gas fee to set up, but we actually work in a system that could even eliminate that entirely. And so like if you have ynwa.eth, you can create an unlimited number of subdomains. And so, yeah, you're paying, you know, your yearly cost, I guess since it's a four letter, it's $160 a year for that. But you could give all your friends and family a subdomain off that if you want. In fact, you can even have subdomains. I mean, you can go as many levels as you want.
And you're still only paying the annual fee of the however many letters it is that you've got as your primary.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we've had this vision, you know, somebody out there owns wallet.eth, right? And that person could decide to, you know, issue, you know, 100 million subdomains and give them to every, you know, give it every to everybody, you know, in France or something. I mean, they could, that's possible. Now, right now, there's no ongoing protocol fees at all for subdomains, but there is the gas fee just simply to set it up. And we're working on a system that our lead developer, Nick, calls Durin, from the doors of Durin in Lord of the Rings. And it's a system that will basically allow you to store the records and subdomains of your name at any external location of your choosing, any arbitrary place. Now, that could be a layer two, like Optimism. It could be another layer one. It could even be just a normal server. We expect people will use different places to store their records depending on their security needs. But theoretically, you know, you could even, like I said, store just the records and subdomains on a normal server if you wanted to. And then the cost of creating subdomains and updating records is, you know, near zero.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to wait for the new tooling at the end of the year, early next year to get my head around that one. But no, I mean, it seems logical. I say another way to help I see it as another way of helping to onboard people who are yet to discover crypto, and almost like, you know, when I set up my old man, his email address. It's like, yeah, great. This is another way which you can help introduce the concept of crypto to, you know, those that have yet to discover it, and yeah, give them a payment as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You can set up a subdomain for me, Mark. Just start giving me payments.
YNWA. What? Thomas Party is injured. Something like that.
He's back. Party is back.
Okay, we'll have to. Well, good job. We've got multiple chances of subdomains. Thomas Party is injured. Thomas Party is back. Each week, I'll drop you a nominal amount of ETH, and whichever one it arrives in, you'll know to help with your team news.
That's it. Subdomains. I think there's so much that can be done with them. I'm going to really need to. Once I get all my names registered and all properly set up.
I mean, like, for example, like SoRare, you know, SoRare could have SoRare.eth or something. Or even, do you guys have SoRare.com? Is that your website?
So the SoRare HQ guys, I think they've already registered the name.
Right, but like the normal website for SoRare. Yeah, SoRare.com. So you could even, remember, import SoRare.com and ENS, so SoRare.com. Okay, you could then create subdomains for users on both systems. And then, you know, for example, I'd be able to receive, you know, crypto payments at, you know, to brantley.sorare.com. And then you could make it so that in a normal browser, going to brantley.sorare.com is like my user profile. So you could be making use of ENS and DNS in this kind of seamless way.
No, I can see that happening. Yeah. The one thing that I learned from this were from your very first explanation, Brantley, was the fact I didn't realize I could receive different types of cryptocurrency onto the same address. So I've only done this for Ethereum. I think 99% of my transactions have always only been using Ethereum, but it was, yeah, interesting to hear. Yeah, no, you can have Bitcoin sent to it. You can have other things. I don't know if I need to set that up anywhere, but yeah, it was interesting to see how that could contain a multitude of different cryptocurrencies, and it wasn't just linked to Ethereum.
Yeah, and it looks really easy to set those addresses. I'm just looking at the records page just now. You've got ETH, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Doge, others that are there, and it's literally add, edit a record and copy in your Ethereum or your whatever currency address into that.
Exactly.
And set it. So looks nice and simple, but I'm sure the new portal will make it even easier.
Correct. Yeah. So like, if you want to see a good example, you know, in our manager app, look up brantley.eth and look at the records there. And I mean, I have tons of records set up. I don't have all possible records, but because ultimately you can store any arbitrary information, but that's a good example of it.
Well, that was something I was going to ask you. How do you actually use this? So what are you using your name on a daily basis for? How does it benefit you?
Yeah, great question. I use it all the time. I mean, I'm constantly, if I'm sending something to my main wallet, you know, from Coinbase or from one wallet to another, I just send it to brantley.eth, makes it simple. You know, if someone else wants to send me something, I just say, send it to brantley.eth. We also, you know, I regularly do things like hackathon prizes and things like this, and people just, you know, send me their ENS name, right, for me to send the prize to them. very simple. I go to decentralized websites. You know, Vitalik now mirrors his blog on vitalik.eth, which is cool. And there's more and more, there's thousands of ENS based, you know, decentralized websites that's growing all the time. There are dApps, you know, a lot of dApp front ends you can find on the decentralized web. And then of course, I love, you know, I connect or sign into a service and it shows Brantley.eth to represent myself. I mean, that's highly useful. I see that on a regular basis.
Yeah, it looks like you're doing that just about everywhere. So Twitter, GitHub, Telegram, LinkedIn, your Discord, your Reddit channels. So it's really following you everywhere.
Well, that's actually not what you think. So you see that on my record. That's just information I put there as sort of profile information. I mean, like, if I connect to Uniswap, it just automatically shows my ENS name, right? If I'm voting on Snapshot, it shows me as my ENS name.
Okay, so those are not the integrations.
No, what you see there in the text records, that's just simply information I've put there. Like, it's just like profile information.
Yep.
So yeah, I use it all the time.
And do you know who has Brantley with an E registered?
Does somebody have that? I don't know. Is it registered?
Let me have a look, because that's how I was naturally spelling it earlier.
Yeah, maybe I should register that too.
Yeah, you probably should. It's registered.
It is. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, I mean, that is one problem, you know, I'd say with any naming system, it's what's called a homoglyph attack. Or, you know, it's basically something where one word can look very similar to another word, you know, it's off by a letter, or even like mixes alphabets. So like we actually recommend that services, you know, can sometimes provide warnings if something might be confusing.
Interesting. So you talked about integrations that you have, there's 282. So what other apps, browsers, wallets are you looking to integrate with?
Well, ultimately for ENS, you know, we want it to be completely ubiquitous. Like, we want to get to the point where all services support ENS and that any new service, of course, supports ENS, because it'd be crazy not to, right? I mean, like, there's no web browser out there that doesn't support DNS where you have to type in an IP address to go to a website. I mean, nobody does that. And so that's our goal. I'd say, you know, there's tons of dApps that we, you know, we'd still like to see ENS added to, lots of wallets. I mean, there's a long tail. We're in, you know, pretty much all the main wallets, but there's a long tail of wallets out there that we still need to get in. One type of service that we're not in hardly at all is exchanges. This is unfortunate. I mean, a lot of users, you know, they buy cryptocurrency on an exchange and then they want to send it to their main wallet and they want to be able to send it to their ENS name. A lot of exchanges like Binance and things like this don't support ENS names, which is unfortunate. So if you're from an exchange, would love to have you add ENS support. It's easy to add. And I think your users would really appreciate it.
On a different note then, Brantley, what's your take on football? Do you like football? Do you like sport? What do you do when you're not building ENS out?
Oh, of course. Now, football here, I'm sorry, I am an American. Are we talking soccer or American football?
Well, it sounds like you've done as much research on us as we did on you prior to this pod. So let's go with the one with the round ball. What's that one?
I think you guys do soccer, party? Right? I think that's my assumption.
We'll let it slide on this one. And we've just had our first anniversary, so I think we can allow a soccer to slip in right. Year two.
Well, I knew that you guys did athlete, you know, trading cards and things like this. I mean, look, I am an American, so I'm not a huge soccer fan. I'm aware of it, but I am more of a basketball fan and a little bit of an American football fan.
What's your local team? Have you got a local MLS team?
Well, I'm from Oregon, even though I live in South Carolina right now. I'm from Oregon. And so the NBA team there is the Portland Trailblazers. So I'm going to kind of always be a fan of them for the rest of my life.
Fair enough. And were you active in Topshot when that took off? Or have you remained active in Topshot as well? Have you been able to juggle time to spin between building out ENS and still partaking in some of the other things in the space?
Right. No, I didn't really get into Top Shot. But I know people who have. I mean, it was a big thing. But no, just can't get into everything.
There's not enough time, is there? There's so many different projects that you see every day. I think you probably skip past about 20, 30 projects every day. And there's a handful that you do get the time to look at or maybe just pique your interest a little bit more.
Well, I guess that's also a challenge that you have in terms of trying to win people's time in order to then take the time to build an identity using an ENS domain in the first place, dragging them away from, you know, the metaverses or the games that they play on a regular basis and say, well, you know, hang about, take some time, get an identity and, you know, then go back onto your way.
Right. You know, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And just ENS, I'm happy to be a part of the project. I did not start it. It was started by Nick Johnson. He started working on 2016 and launched in 2017. And it kind of got started to be more professionalized in mid-2018. I joined in January 2019. So I've been on the team now for more than 2.5 years. But it's been an incredible experience. And I would say to anybody out there who's thinking about, you know, jumping into Web3, you know, or the blockchain space professionally in their career, I highly recommend it. It's fun, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, and as we've said, there's so much going on, you're not going to be bored. If anything, you're going to be overwhelmed because there's so much going on. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we all need a lot more time in the day. But really, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight on ENS. I'm going to be looking into it a lot more, getting all my names set up, getting some transferred over when gas prices are a little bit lower than they are today. And yeah, getting involved in it, looking at the subdomains and seeing what can be done here. Because I think it's part of the future of Web3 and what will it be good to have an identity that you're able to move around with online.
Yes.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on board. And I wish you guys continued success. As I say, you've made a massive splash already. And good luck with the next parts of your roadmap. And I'm sure that ENS, and I'm pretty sure we'll see this now floating around the Serere community. I mean, it didn't take long before Serere users started to change their Twitter handles to including the word Serere, or you could see at a glance, first glance, this person plays Serere. And I'm sure that, maybe that'll start filtering down to people identifying themselves, you know, with an ENS domain as well.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. So that brings us to the end of today's Serere Global Fantasy Football podcast. I hope you found it useful. As always, if you could like, subscribe, and leave a review, then we can help introduce the fantastic concept to more users. See you next time.